course of the liturgical year, we make our way through the gospel, hearing the accounts of Jesus' ministry from birth to life to death to resurrection. On the first Sunday of the season after Epiphany, we encounter Jesus at the Jordan River. Matthew tells us, "And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased.'" Today, on the last Sunday after Epiphany, we hear a similar proclamation in the Transfiguration story. "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased." The divine proclamations that bookend the season after Epiphany call our attention directly to Jesus, God made flesh. Ours is a God who is transcendent, yet immanent, set apart, yet ever drawing near. Because we encounter Jesus in our lectionary readings from week to week, we can get used to him. And while that's a good thing, these familiar stories can become predictable. Our God made human may begin to seem ordinary, par for the course. It's natural, given our standard Sunday to Sunday routine, to long for an exciting, revelatory encounter with God. Alas, I'd wager a guess that it's not too often that God comes to us in sudden bursts of mystifying revelation, as he does to Peter, James, and John in this morning's portion of gospel. Their miraculous encounter with Jesus is quite different from their everyday experiences with him. Matthew tells us Jesus' face shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appear with him, a bright cloud overshadows them, and God speaks. One might say that in the midst of the ordinary, these disciples experience the extraordinary. It must be incredibly faith-affirming to experience God in such an amazing way. Seeing the face of God would most certainly solidify one's belief. Can you imagine? It's not much of a stretch. Some people are so yearning to catch a glimpse of God that they begin to see God all over the place. Maybe you've heard stories of people seeing Jesus' face in a tortilla or a piece of toast. Maybe you've heard about someone who claims to have recognized Christ's countenance on the side of a glass building when the light hits it just right. Or maybe you've personally noticed Jesus staring back at you from the foam swirled on top of your mochaccino. Or perhaps from a distant rock formation. 12 years ago, my dad saw the face of Jesus in the form of fog dissipating on their side road driveway. So extraordinary was this floating vision, and feeling that no one would ever believe him, he grabbed the camera and snapped a picture. And I can tell you, when I saw this photo, this fog looked like the face of Jesus. Was this a moment to catch a glimpse of the incarnate Word? The desire to glimpse Jesus in unexpected and miraculous ways is understandable. It sure would make believing easier. But we do not typically encounter God in a big boom of the miraculous. Instead, we encounter God in more subtle, yet equally important ways. Some of us find God out in the bush and in nature. Some of us may see God in a house cat, curled up in the sunshine. Some folk meet God in customers they serve, patients they take care of, or clients and co-workers. You might even notice God in the cheerful demeanor of a passing stranger. And there are those among us who have had mountaintop experiences. I am one of them. That's what got me started on the whole discernment process. Thunder crashes, lightning strikes, and God takes shape right in front of your eyes. But even they, like Peter, James, and John, must eventually walk back down to level ground. Rather than waiting for God to be revealed to us in some extraordinary way, we are called to get up every day and look for Jesus' presence in our ordinary lives. Admittedly, recognizing God at work in ordinary life can be difficult, especially when we face setbacks, sorrow, or even general annoyance. But rest assured, God is there. All of God's people have bad days. The trick is learning to look for Jesus anyway. Now that's a habit that truly would be extraordinary. Any one of us can recognize Jesus when times are good. Somebody's cancer is cured. They give the credit to God. Somebody meets an old flame and falls in love all over again. They claim that their prayers have been answered. Somebody gets a long-awaited raise. They give God the glory. And just to be very clear, there is absolutely nothing wrong with recognizing God in the good. After all good things do come from God. And nor should it be our goal to see God exclusively in the bad. It is necessary, though, for us to look for God in the ordinary, because the ordinary is what we have the most of. Startling revelation is not necessary to convince us of the validity of our faith. Faithfulness does not grow out of God's unanticipated intervention. But friends, it does grow out from a life dedicated to looking for Jesus at all times and in all the ordinary places. Our faith tradition offers us plenty of ways to look for Jesus. Praying, reading the scriptures, coming to worship, ministering to others, building friendships of trust and compassion are all ways we encounter God in the everyday. So our task is actually quite simple. Look for Jesus. When we do catch a glimpse of him, our perspectives will change. He may not always appear in the way we want him to, or in the way we think he ought. But nevertheless, he will be there. So watch for him. And listen, too. You will know it when you hear it. That voice from heaven that rings in your ear. This is my son, the beloved. With him, I am well pleased. Amen.